Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up on March 13th, the Metro will play host to an anniversary of sorts. It's been 15 years since the great album Let Go, and of course, I'm talking about the band Not a Surf. Not a Surf is an indie rocker from New York City. They've been together for over 25 years. They were signed to Elektra Records in the mid-90s, had the hit song Popular, but major label life didn't suit the band, and they made their name on indie labels like Barzook out of Seattle. And the album Let Go, released in 2003, is considered one of their best. And to honor the 15th anniversary, Not a Surf has put out the album that is a benefit for the ACLU and the Pavlov Foundation, which helps children with cancer. It's called Standing at the Gates, the songs of Not a Surf's Let Go. The album is a collection of artists covering the songs from Let Go. That includes Manchester Orchestra, Amy Mann, and Charlie Bliss, just to name a few. And again, they're going to be at Metro on the 13th of March, but Matthew Cause is with us tonight. Matthew, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Your band is great, and you guys have been through Chicago in your 25-year-plus history. You've been through here a ton of times. What does Chicago mean to you? Where are the memories at when it comes to playing this town?
Well, they're really, really on stage. You know, Firecycle, Shubas, and then Metro many, many times. Yeah. And just of a really, you know, a friendly, enthusiastic audience there to listen and have a good time. So, it's been one of the places I always look forward to playing, for sure.
You guys have had a great relationship with Metro over the years. What does it mean to you as a band to have a good relationship with a club, to say this is our home when we come to Chicago?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a number of intangibles. I mean, I guess it starts with the physical space itself, and that's a great space. It's kind of shallow and wide, so you're sort of close to everybody. And the owners there and Joe have always been really sweet to us, and everybody who works there is really good. And, you know, I think sometimes you get a feeling for a club from the faces of the audience. You know, if they're consistently psyched to be there and they've saw you the last time and the time before that, then it's a place that they like to go to, and maybe it's their local, their favorite, you know.
It's amazing to think that Let Go is 15 years old. It dates us all. But the album, of course, you're doing an anniversary tour of it. We'll talk about the Benefit album as well. But what does it mean for you guys to put these songs in its entirety on stage on this tour? What does it mean for you guys to go back and play those songs in 2018?
Well, we've been playing a bunch of them live for years anyway, but I don't know. I guess it's just some kind of recognition of the fact that we just know that it's generally people's favorite. You know, it's definitely the front runner in the fan lineup. So I guess it's a thank you to them, really, you know, and also it's an important record for us because it's the first one we made kind of on our own. And we were lucky enough for accidental reasons, to have the luxury of making a first album all over again, you know?
Right.
Because our first one, you know, the way the classic story goes, you have your whole life to write it. But, you know, we'd been in a few different bands. But But still, we made it with Rick Ocasek, and he was kind enough to sort of protect us from too many, you know, no one was looking over our shoulder when we made it. But when we made our second record, which we're proud of, you know, there was a lot of, you know, I was on the phone with our guy at the record company every few days, and he was all worried about whether there'd be a hit or not. And, it makes it cloudy.
Yeah,
I'm not dissing the record, but for this one, we kind of felt like our career was a little bit over, which was no surprise because we were never expecting to be a particularly successful band. You know, I just wanted to be on a little label and do it kind of for fun and you know, maybe get to play a place like the Metro once or twice. You know, that was it. But the little indie labels that we sent our stuff to, or big indie labels, I should say, you know, didn't notice. And that's totally fine. We didn't really have a lot going on. I think you can't just go from 0 to 50 on an indie the way you can with the major label and kind of pick you up out of nowhere and take a chance on you. But then when it doesn't go well, you're toast. Anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get in the weeds with record companies.
No, I love it. I love it.
But that's the thing, is that then we were back to zero, and it was great. You know, when I'd gotten out of college, I went straight to working at a law firm as a paralegal, nothing serious, but a lot of hours. And then I was working at an investment bank doing computer stuff from 1 a.m. to 9 a.m. to make enough money to spend on the band, you know, making demos and stuff. So I'd never had that kind of what's kind of a classic American period, which is your post-collegiate kind of hanging out, working in a coffee shop kind of thing. You know, I'm not denigrating. That can be a real career, working in a coffee shop. But you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like sort of going from job to job, part-time work, that kind of thing. I'd never really had that luxury. And then when we came home after touring for the Proximity Effect, and it turned out that we kind of had nothing going on, I started working at my local record store a few days a week and didn't spend a lot of money. And what money I had, I'd go see bands, and I'd buy an old 4-track and sell it, and buy an old 8-track and sell that, and just tinker around in my house and kind of fool around with music and discover new old bands at the record store, and kind of musical horizons expand a little bit, and feel really free of having to be any particular thing. I think having sort of come onto the radio when we did in 1996 was popular. It kind of put us in this firmly in this kind of commercial alternative category. Yeah. Where we felt like, are we supposed to be like faux brainy fighters or something?
That's
like,
that's sort of where they put you, right? And I always thought it was interesting, you know, because the emotion that must be in it to be able to have that song. And we were just talking, Pete and I were just talking about this, the idea of having a hit song and then, you know, being dropped from a major label. There's a lot of bands like that, especially in the mid-90s, that happened to. But with you guys, with Not a Surf, one of the great things about Let Go and the subsequent albums after that is your popularity exploded in the indie world. You are one of these bands that has got more popular since that movement you had, or that music that you were producing in the mid-90s.
Well, I think it's where we wanted to be in the first place. It's where we felt like we belonged. All my favorite bands were on labels like that, and that's just the kind of music I liked, and that's the scene I wanted to be in. But, you know, of course, you can't, in a funny way, if you're a little bit passive, which I am in a lot of ways, I'm very active in making music, but in other ways of like steering where it goes, I suppose I'm a little passive. And it's not like we were dressed in some like really specific way that totally told you exactly what we were about, you know.
Right.
You don't always choose the scene that you're in a way, you know. Who knows who's going to adopt you? But yeah, so I think we just ended up doing what we wanted to do from the beginning. And again, the luxury was really kind of a chance in 100 or 1,000 to have a bit of a fluke minor hit and then have our name be known, but then be totally free again to do anything and kind of no pressure and reinvent ourselves to a certain degree. And that's why I guess it's a very long way of saying that's why Let Go is important to us, is because it's kind of the first record of our second phase, and we're still in that second phase.
Matthew, I was going to ask just about the emotion that goes into starting over. If you're in a position where you gather all the money that you have, the merch money, whatever it is, to get the studio time to do something where, as you just said, we could be totally free. We can be free, creative, do whatever Not a Surf wants to do. We want to be who we want to be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fear in that. There's a lot of emotion, negative emotion, whether or not you're going to be good enough, whether or not this is going to work the way you want it to. Take us back to 2003 and the approach of getting into this record, Let Go, which now we know to be unbelievable, but before you guys took on this challenge.
I might have been a bit of an ostrich at the time with the head in the sand, you know, because I think I tried to forget to a certain degree that we had a career. So I'm like just working at this record store and you know, I'm not like particularly recognizable in any way, you know, just a guy. So, oh, you know, every few weeks somebody would be like, "Hey, aren't you?" And I'd be like, "Yeah, yeah." And then, you know, once in a while an email would come from overseas or somewhere in the States, some kid, you know, asking when our next record was coming. But it was only every few days or every week or every couple of weeks that I'd have a tangible reminder. And the rest of the time I just kind of forgot about it, you know, and really lowered my sights. Unambitious, but I think it was a more of a self-preservation, but also I think I realized I had to start over. It's not like it felt particularly brave. It's like there was almost nothing at stake at that point. Here's another thing that really I think is a significant factor, is that we were older than your average Joes at that point. I was born in 1967. I'm 50 now. So when our first record came out, I was 29. And normally if someone is having like a, you know, power pop rock radio novelty hit about football players, et cetera, you know, you'd think you were like 22, but I wasn't. And the great advantage of that is that it wasn't that scary for it to all go away, because I'd already had a life before that. So it wasn't like my identity. I just imagine, like, if I was 21 or something and all of a sudden there was this huge potential, like, oh my God, your first record is doing really well and the single's exploding. You might, in some as yet unformed part of your brain, say, well, that's who I am. I'm a really successful songwriter.
Right.
But I didn't really buy into that. Also, I was old enough to have seen a lot of bands kind of come and go, you know, bands that I really liked get kind of major label up and then down, like, you know, Gigolo Ants or somebody like that, you know, people I think are really great.
Yeah, right.
I'd already seen a little bit of like being churned up.
I wanted to ask before we run out of time here, just about the standing at the gates is great. It's great to be
Thank you.
The album is great. Let Go is great. But standing at the gates with the cover songs, everybody doing Not a Surf songs is brilliant. How is that experience to listen to other bands and other musicians play the songs that we're talking about tonight, the songs from back in 2003?
I'll tell you really quickly that our manager, Ben Weber, it was his idea to do the covers record. And when he proposed it to us, I said no, because I said, we're not going to use the word tribute, but still, who organizes this kind of thing themselves? This seems really inelegant, you know what I mean? But he explained which charities it was going to be for, and I was like, you know, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. But I said, the only condition is I don't want to ask anybody myself. And I broke that rule just a little bit because I ended up asking Amy Mann myself. But besides that, I really didn't want to. It's really thrilling, you know? They're all fantastic, and I feel like all the bands and artists really made the songs their own. You know, the first one I heard was Ron Gallo, and just knocked me out. Their version, I don't hear it as a cover. It just sounds like their song, you know, which is thrilling.
That's what's great about the album, is that you recognize the songs, but the musicians who do the cover, they do it in their styles. They do it, and they make their songs their own. Your songs, theirs.
Yeah, it's such a kick. It's so much fun. I'm just thrilled at the whole thing, and it's for two important causes, so it's all just really psyched, and I'm glad our manager convinced us to do it even after we said no.
The album is called Standing at the Gates, the songs of Not a Surf's Let Go. Let Go, 15 years old, an anniversary tour happening now. Not a Surf coming to the Metro, coming up on March 13th. Matthew Cause, my guest tonight. Matthew, can't thank you enough for taking the time off to just talk to us tonight. Big fans of yours, and congrats on the anniversary.
Thanks so much. My pleasure, and maybe see you at the Metro.
Sitting on a train, reading a book, same damn planet every time I look. Try to relax and slow my heartbeat, only works when I'm dead asleep. Been thinking and drinking all over the town, must be gearing up for some kind of meltdown. All I am is Are you sure nothing's wrong? Yeah. But you're sad about something? Yeah. So tell me what.